Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me begin this sermon by asking you a question. What kind of life do you want? Would you like a mediocre life if God offered that to you? Nobody I know wants a mediocre life. Everybody I know wants to have a great life, an awesome life. But what is an awesome life? What would that mean to you? Is it a big house, a fast car, a cabin by the lake? And all of those things are wonderful. You know, one thing we have in common with God is that just like us, God wants us to have an awesome life. The only thing is, his idea of an awesome life might be a little different than our version of what an awesome life or what a great life looks like. Today is Pentecost, which is the birthday of the Christian church, and that's what we've been focusing on this month. Remember, the church is all people who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. The day when Jesus poured out his Holy Spirit on his disciples is called Pentecost. They were filled with power. They preached God's word. And on that day, 3,000 people were baptized and brought into the family of God. On Pentecost, we focus on the work of the third person of the Holy Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. And I want to share with you today who the Holy Spirit is and three ways that he blesses your life. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of life, and he is the Spirit of power. So let's talk about number one. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Jesus says, John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. This is from Jesus's upper room discourse given on Maundy Thursday. Jesus talks that night about sending the helper. He's going away, but he's going to send the helper. In Greek, that word is paraclete. The word paraclete can be translated different ways. Sometimes you see it as counselor. Sometimes you see it as comforter. And the Holy Spirit is all of those things and more. He is your counselor. He is your comforter. He is your coach. He is your best friend who is always with you. And he is here to help you because he loves you. He is all of those things and more. Now, Jesus calls him the Spirit of truth because the Holy Spirit always tells the truth. Now, that's not what the world does. People who want to use you and manipulate you, people who want to sell you stuff, will tell you anything you want to hear. That's what the people of this world know. If you tell people what they want to hear, then they'll like you more. But a good friend, a real friend, someone who loves you and cares about you, tells you the truth, even the hard truths of life. The Holy Spirit is your best friend. He will always tell you the truth. But that brings up, how does the Holy Spirit talk to us? Some people think that the Holy Spirit speaks to us through feelings. I don't think that's biblical. In fact, I think that's very dangerous. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. I don't think we can trust our feelings. I know my feelings have tricked me time and time again. I've been deceived by my own heart. Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to us through our feelings. He speaks to us through his word, the Bible. Guides us into all truth. Jesus said, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. John 17:17. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible so that we could know the truth. 2 weeks ago, I mentioned that there were in the Bible, it's made up of 66 different books written by 40 different human authors. And those 40 different human authors came from all walks of life, kings, physicians, fishermen, former IRS agents, and they wrote it over a period of 1,500 years. And yet, the Bible is perfectly consistent and tells one story from beginning to end. How is that possible? Well, that's because the real author of the Bible is not those 40 human authors. It is the Holy Spirit. That's what Peter, former fisherman, wrote in his second letter, 2 Peter 1:21. Men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Each of the prophets, apostles, and evangelists who wrote the 66 books of the Bible were not writing down their own words. They were writing down God's word. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, carried along by him. All scriptures inspired by God, profitable for teaching, rebuke, correction, for training in righteousness, 2 Timothy 3:16. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible so that we can know the truth. And the Bible has two main messages. The law. The law is the teaching that all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's standard of perfection, and we all deserve God's punishment. The gospel is the good news that God sent his one and only Son, Jesus, into this world to be our only Savior from sin and from death. Jesus saved us by dying on the cross and rising again so that you and I can have everlasting life. That is the truth that the Holy Spirit wants us to know. He is the Spirit of truth. He is also, number two, the Spirit of life. Ezekiel 37:14, I will put my Spirit in you and you will live. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. All throughout the Bible, we see God, the Holy Spirit, connected to life. He gives physical life and spiritual life. God created Adam from the dust of the earth, but he had no life in him until God breathed into him his breath, his Spirit. And the same thing happens here in our Old Testament lesson, Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel sees God assemble a vast army out of a valley of dry bones, and God covers them with sinew and flesh, but they have no life in them until Ezekiel preaches and God's Spirit enters them. It is the Spirit who gives life. I will put my Spirit in you and you will live. How does the Spirit come? Not through feelings, but through the preaching of God's word. Prophesy to them, Ezekiel. Preach God's word to them. Jesus tells us in John 6:63, the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The Spirit is, as we say in the Nicene Creed, the Lord and giver of life. I believe that's based on Job 33:4. The Spirit of God has made me, the breath of the Almighty gives me life. It's the Lord and giver of life. The Holy Spirit gives us physical life, but he also gives us spiritual life. It's through his word, the Bible, that the Holy Spirit teaches us and brings us to saving faith. He is the one who creates faith in our hearts. We don't create it for ourselves. As Luther writes in his explanation of the third article, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. He is the author of spiritual life. And Luther goes on to speak of the Holy Spirit raising us from the dead and giving us eternal life. Here's how he concludes that section. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. Just like that army of dry bones, the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, will raise our physical bodies from the dead and give us everlasting life with Jesus forever, because he's the Spirit of truth and he is the Spirit of life. And number three, he is the Spirit of power. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you will be my witnesses. These are Jesus's words right before his ascension. Our gospel lesson today shows us that the Holy Spirit's the Spirit of truth. The Old Testament lesson, Ezekiel 37, shows us he's the Spirit of life. And the epistle lesson from Acts shows us that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of power. In Acts chapter 2, he comes on the disciples in great power, just as Jesus had promised. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And boy, did Jesus keep his promise. The Holy Spirit comes on them, and they are filled with incredible power. They are filled with a powerful faith. A faith that bears witness to Jesus and his resurrection at great risk, even to the point of death. The disciples were filled with power to preach God's word. And by the work of the Spirit, each person heard that word in their own language. They understood it. They repented. And that day they became Christians. 3,000 people were brought into God's kingdom by baptism that day. Now the Holy Spirit continues to work through his church with power. He continues to empower his church with word and sacrament so that we, like the apostles on Pentecost, can bear witness to Christ and his resurrection, so that we are filled with faith, with courage, and the ability to live a new kind of life, the kind of life God wants us to live. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of self-control. God didn't give us the spirit of fear. That's the spirit of the world. The world lives in constant anxiety, constant worry, constant fear. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't bring fear. He brings power and love and self-control. You'll notice that the Holy Spirit brings love and self-control. You might recognize those. They are the first and last of the fruits of the Spirit, right? The noble nine, right? The nine virtues and values that God wants us to live by, the fruit of the Spirit. I told you before, God wants you to have an awesome life. But I don't think an awesome life is made up of material blessings. Those are good. They are definitely blessings of the Lord. And if we have them, we should be thankful for them. They're good, but they're not the best. An awesome life doesn't necessarily look like material wealth. No, an awesome life in the Holy Spirit looks like this. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what an awesome life looks like. It's full of love and joy and peace. Those things don't come from the world. Those things don't come out of our own feelings. Those things don't come out of our own hearts. We can't make ourselves have those things. They come from God. They are the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as He continues to strengthen our faith through word and sacrament. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control is the work the Holy Spirit continues to do in your own life. The Holy Spirit is your comforter, your counselor, your coach, and your very best friend. Now, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.